This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Dystopical, folks, and another evening. And this evening, Kat and I will be talking to you about something that we're now a little familiar with, internet dating, and internet dating specifically for queer women. So the sites we've been to, the things we've done, the experiences we've had, and what you should and shouldn't be doing.
Yes, and look, it's pretty hard to find research about internet dating. Well, no, that's not true. You can find research about internet dating, but disaggregating the data to find anything about queer women is nigh impossible. But we have got some research and a few stats for you, so stick around and hopefully you'll either learn something or you'll hear stuff that you already knew anyway. We're actually also going to talk about some research that's been done on the profile pictures that people put up on dating sites.
So apparently what you should be doing to look more interesting, to look more appealing, and what works and what doesn't in that department.
And what gets people actually messaging and, you know, upping your chances of actually having a date or meeting someone as opposed to them just, you know, sending you a dirty message.
Yeah. So if you've had experiences with internet dating, trials, tribulations, or success stories, we'd love to hear about them. And I'm sure there'll be lots of all of those of the above. You can text us during the show at 0427JOY949. Facebook us at Dystopical, that's DYSTOPICAL. Or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com. Now for a little bit of evening music. And welcome back to Dystopical, folks. That was Where Love Lives, Alison Limerick, and Closer, Kings of Leon.
And tonight we are talking about internet dating for queer women. We're going to talk about our experiences, good and bad, and also some research that we found about internet dating, the do's, the don'ts, and fabulous information about profile pictures and how they work.
Exciting.
Yeah. Look,
I'm blushing, obviously, because I'll be relating some personal experiences here.
And not necessarily, when it comes to the research, it's not necessarily what you think it's going to be. Yeah. All right. So, fine.
Okay.
Internet dating. Spill the beans.
Now, I have to say I was quite a latecomer to this whole internet dating business. I never was. I don't know. I always felt like it was dead unromantic to find someone online. In my, you know, little fantasies, I'd be on a flight to, I don't know, Haiti, Jamaica, Spain. There'd be someone sitting next to me. We'd look at each other, you know, have a little wine, blah, blah, blah. And then the romance would unfold globally.
It would blossom.
But having gotten a little tired.
Oh, sorry, wait. Did that ever happen?
There were some really lovely older ladies and fat men that I sat next to on international flights, of which I take a fair amount of. But no, that never transpired, unfortunately.
I remember how resistant you were. Though I do believe you had a pink sofa account for quite a long time that just sat there.
Oh, yeah, that's just because I was renting a room out and I wanted a queer woman.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You didn't actually use it for dating purposes.
I didn't use it for dating purposes at all at that time. I was seriously against all kinds of internet dating.
And what happened then, Farin?
I got a little tired.
Couldn't take enough international flights.
I wasn't taking enough international flights is what it was. No. What happened was, I suppose, that I got a little tired of the bar scene. I felt like it was the same people that I was meeting over and over again, who are not terrible folks at all by any means.
But you'd already slept with everyone that you wanted to sleep with.
Now, hush, darling. That's not why at all.
Oh, really? I guess that was why for me.
I just felt like it was time to look at other ways of finding women. And I was just kind of at the end of a time where the bar scene and the international flight thing just weren't happening for me anymore.
And so you decided, did you?
Well, it took a lot of persuading, actually.
Because I was about to call you a big fat liar on air.
No, I must be honest. It took a lot of persuading by some of my very good friends, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think essentially what it came down to was a conversation with a gay guy friend of mine who was like, this is where it's at, and don't be an idiot. Everyone is dating online. Gay men are doing it all the time and finding all sorts of lovely trysts, whether they're relationships or, you know, booty calls, etc., online, and girls should be doing it too, and you should be doing it too. So having heard that and having no, you know, dates lined up from face-to-face encounters, I happily asked you to set up my profile for me.
And it worked. I win. Well, no, I didn't win. You did. I, you know.
Yes. So the moral of the story is, without going into too much detail, that I had just actually one, I had a lot of conversations with people online. And I have to say that I didn't have the boob shots or the cleavage shots or the.
Thank God.
This is what my tongue looks like, or, you know, any of the other myriad shots that people think will attract other people, I suppose. No, they were quite, I would say, subtle, modest even, pictures. And basically I also was a bit lazy and just sort of copy and pasted all my Facebook interests and things you do and things, movies you've seen and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, was quite good at the starting, initiating conversation with other people, I think. And I believe that's where my current relationship comes from.
You believe that,
yeah,
do you?
No, yeah, I believe that. I believe I was the one that, you know, sort of pointed at them.
Okay,
and said,
Fran's really,
have a Fran's
really, Fran's not really good at telling the truth about these things on air. What happened was I actually saw your girlfriend online and said, hey, she'd be really good for you. You should message her.
Thanks. Yeah, that's kind of what happened. But then I did message her, see?
Yes, you did. You're so proactive.
And it's quite hard in the beginning because when you haven't, and I actually had another date as well, and they can be a bit awkward because you have this sort of conversation on the internet where if you're, you know, messaging each other, then you have time to think about something witty, or you can sort of steer conversations in the way that are in the most flattering light for you, so things that you know about or are interested in, etc. And there's no awkward pauses or where do I, you know, eye contact, you know, all that kind of stuff. What if I don't look good enough, you know? So it's a lot.
You mean in person?
In person, yeah. So all those things are sort of a lot easier, I think, when they start out online because you can.
Well, it's the comfort of your own home.
You're
really,
almost,
isn't it?
Yeah, like your most sort of confident, eloquent self online in a way.
While wearing trackies and an old t-shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you've sort of come up with a scrubbed up image that you're, I guess, telling the world this is what I am most of the time, whereas it's probably what you are, you know, some of the time or 5% of the time or whatever it is. But yeah. But having said that, I never lied on my profile, so that was good.
Apparently most people do, according to the research.
Really? More on that later. But yeah, I went on one slightly scary date that involved I don't know how to say this without. I hope they're not listening. Anyway, they were eccentric.
Okay, well, you're eccentric. What's wrong with that?
Well, they were a person that collected friends.
I'm sorry, what?
So this person that I was on a date with had a theory that you need three really interesting friends to round out a friends group. And for her, that was, I can't remember, it's been a while now, but I think a midget was one of the things that she was looking for in a friend. And, you know, I'm 5'2", so I'm not quite in the midget category. But
you feel like that's why she wanted to meet
you. Well, I wasn't sure if, you know, I was part of her, like, I'm looking for a midget, you know, thing. But yeah, so she was someone really, really famous had to also be a friend. It doesn't matter if they're a good friend or a bad friend, they just had to be really famous. So
anyway, it sounds like she was not for you.
Yeah, so I'm sure a lovely person, but yeah, sort of stopped at date number one in that case.
Well, I think that the majority of dates that come out of internet dating, again, thinking about the research that I did, are only one-offs.
Really?
Yep. Though the ones that aren't tend to last quite a long time. In fact, and this is straight people stats, but apparently 17% of people that got married in the US last year, no, 2009, met online.
That's pretty astounding.
Yeah, it's a multi-billion dollar business these days.
I have a theory that the internet dating environment is filling a gap where friends and family used to be. So remember, like...
Oh, that's really sad.
No, no, no. So here's a theory. The theory is that our families used to be, you know, a lot closer to us, and they used to be the ones that sort of said, oh, well, there's that person over there that's single, and I know their family, and they're a good family, and, you know, that sort of thing. And that's how people used to get introduced quite a lot. And there doesn't... Increasingly, like that's just not happening. My mum isn't introducing me to eligible women, and yours isn't either. And
thank God.
But that's kind of how it used to be. People used to be introduced through family, friends, and family. And
yeah, well, I guess, and also you meet people in school and uni and work. And up until the internet became kind of big, I guess that's where I met people as well. Although I did meet my last long-term partner on the internet, not on a dating site, but still. And it seems to have taken over as ways to meet people.
For good or bad?
Yeah, well, look, I think we're not as naive about the internet as we used to be. You know, way back when Facebook didn't have privacy settings and anyone that sent you a friend request, you clicked whatever the word was then, which is confirm now. And now it's totally different. Like, people have really locked down their pages, and they scan to see if you've got mutual friends, and then you ask those people, you know, do we know this person? And we're a lot more careful. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure that those, you know, Russian dating scams and stuff still happen, but I would think that people are a lot more careful now.
Well, I would hope so.
Because I've noticed that with one internet dating site that I was on, that you could opt to have your profile verified, and that meant that you had to have some kind of ID, and it, you know, matched it against what you'd said your name was and your age, and you had to, you know, give evidence of your date of birth and all that kind of stuff. And the justification for that from the site's coordinators was that if people see that you have a verified profile, then they know that, you know, at least, you know, your name, date of birth, and some other basic stats about you are actually real.
You are a real person.
Yeah. And apparently that is more appealing.
So did you ever, in your sort of internet dating time, ever chat to someone that you thought wasn't a real person or wasn't a, you know, 29 or 30-year-old lesbian like they said they were?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us more.
I remember this one girl who said that she was 18 and bisexual, I think, and that she really wanted someone to dominate her, and she would be very, you know, explicit about you know, her first sexual experiences and what had happened to her and all this sort of stuff. And there was, you know, it was just the sexual acts that she was describing
sounded implausible.
They were definitely implausible. And in fact, I could tell you from experience that that didn't happen. So I wasn't sure if she was, you know,
making
it up, or even if it was a girl, because it was one of those, you know, fuzzy photo. Oh, and there was another girl as well who was the same thing, and she could never put any photos up because, I don't know, she worked somewhere or other, and she in a law firm or something, and she was worried that people would recognize it. But she kept describing all sorts of, you know, sexual acts that involved things that I'm actually not going to say on air.
Thanks.
But again,
it is still family hour.
Again, really implausible. And I, in both cases, I thought that they were probably men. Because the way they talked about sex was not like anyone that's actually had sex with a woman.
And these were lesbian dating sites you were on?
Both of these were on Lesbian Matchmaker, which has a high amount of lesbians, but also quite a lot of bisexual and bicurious women.
Right.
So in that sense, well, it's a pretty femme-orientated site, actually, like... unlike many others that I've seen.
Well, we'll talk about those in a sec, and we're just going to play you a little bit of music. And welcome back to Dystopical, folks. You are with us this evening, and in case you haven't caught us earlier, Kat and I are talking about internet dating for queer women, i.e. internet dating for us and what we've been up to. So we've just been listening to Feel It in the Air with TV featuring Rock Rudy, Never Sure How to Say That, and The Crowd of the Cat Empire, which is a lovely band that I've caught just locally, actually. Really, really cool stuff. So, Kat, you've been doing some research.
Look, it's really hard to find disaggregated data about lesbian online dating. But I did make...
No one's doing research on lesbian online dating?
Surprisingly, no. I guess once it becomes bigger business, they will be. I mean, that said, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people have profiles across various sites, and you just have to Google lesbian online dating and you'll get links to a million different sites. And we'll mention some later that people might be interested in. What I did find, though, although it is it's right across the board data, so it involves everybody. But I will pull out what is of interest to women.
How to look good in that picture?
Well, someone who is involved with a big internet dating site, which is called OkCupid.com, actually did research on over 7,000 profile pics that were used on the site. They had some hypotheses that they wanted to test out, and which I will get into in a minute. And they got some really surprising results. Well, okay. For example, if you ever look up, you know, how do I set up my profile?
Get a friend to do it for you. Yeah, I do.
Well, this is what you do. There's general advice that is generally given. General advice that's generally given. That was really good. For example. Okay, when you're talking about profile pics, you are generally told that it is better to smile, for example. This is...
Well, I think that you're just trained to smile in pictures. Like, that's the way it is from the time you're little. Anytime someone points a camera at you, you're meant to smile.
Yes, and it's supposed to make you look open and friendly. However, they found that the women that... kind of flirted into the camera in a non-smiling way while making, you know, direct eye contact.
Like a serious, mysterious look?
That's right.
Like the one I'm making at you right now?
Yeah, exactly like that, but without that weird eyebrow thing that you do. They got more messages than people that smiled.
Don't smile.
Women that did, you know, the whole flirting face, but weren't making eye contact, were actually looking away, got less messages than even people that smiled.
So eye contact is, so let's recap
here.
Eye contact is good. Smiling is not good, but flirty looks are good.
Yeah. Flirty looks with eye contact get the most messages.
Okay.
However,
making a checklist as we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's more complicated than that, of course.
Of course it is.
Now, the second myth that they were really surprised got busted was about the MySpace angle, or what's come to be known as the MySpace angle. Probably now it's more the Facebook angle. You may not have heard the term, but you've seen the photo. This is where someone takes a photo of themselves at arm's length with the camera, or let's face it, usually the phone, up above their head.
So arm outstretched.
Arm
right
outstretched.
Above them.
Photo... focusing downward and with, you know, like a coy expression on the face and maybe a little bit pouty.
So your eyes are, you know, pretty big. Your lips are pretty big.
You can generally see down your top. So everyone mocks these photos.
Oh, God, I should check what my Facebook profile picture is.
Even
now.
The researcher said that I'll quote him, "We were pretty sure these pictures were lame. In fact, the prospect of producing hard data on just how lame they were got us all excited, but we were so wrong."
Ooh, what did they find?
In terms of getting new messages, the MySpace / Facebook shot is the single most effective photo type for women.
Do you think that's because it's the most common photo type and there's just more women out there doing it?
I don't have the answer to that. They had a hypothesis that it was that you could see cleavage when you hold the camera at that angle.
So boobs are good.
No, but what they did was that because they wanted to test that hypothesis, they then excluded all cleavage showing shots from the particular pool, and they ran the numbers again.
Okay, so they're still doing the MySpace looking up at your hand, taking the picture with a coy
but
look
now
on your
they've
face
taken boobs
without
out
boobs.
Of it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Got and it. There was no change. It's still the best shot. In fact,
why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know, but I found it really fascinating that it was even better than just pictures of breasts.
So what are you telling our dear listeners, Kat, really? What are you recommending
Well,
here?
Just all those photos that we mock and think are lame actually work.
So they work. Okay, so they don't work in a friend sense, maybe.
Maybe, but perhaps when it comes to, you know, dating,
romantic, sexual interest, that's what's more important than your coolness factor with your friends?
Absolutely. Also, they thought that, you know, that boob pictures would probably do really well, but they don't so much. They do for older women, more so than non-boob photos for older women.
So if you're older, you're showing a little cleavage, the brave thing to do, it's a good thing to do.
This is a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. However, they then ran a model, which I thought was really funny, about what happened. Like, yes, so, okay, technically, women that show cleavage get more messages, but then they ran a model to see what...
The quality of messages?
Well, yeah, and the follow-through. Uh-huh. And the reality was that they were pretty dead. Like, there was a lot of contacts, but they were pretty dead end. Because if it's just like, and I have to admit from my own point of view, like Lesbian Matchmaker, which is a great site, but there are so many profiles that are actually just shots of breasts. Mm. Like, they don't appear to have a head. It's just boob shots. And I have no desire to have a conversation with boobs. Like, at least, unless I was doing it in person, and then that's completely different. But there's not much you can say, like, hey, you've got great tits. And that's kind of the end of the conversation. So
you're thinking in terms of quality of dating experience, you're looking for someone that has – that you can relate to in some way. So boobs are great. You get, you know, a nice – you get a flirt maybe, but you don't actually get continued – quality follow-through or quality conversation.
The people
that
get the most follow-through are those people that have pictures of them themselves doing something interesting. Mm. So, for example, they compared two particular pictures. One is someone doing the MySpace Facebook angle, very pretty girl. Another one, also very pretty girl, but she's sitting cross-legged on her couch, like playing the electric guitar, for example. And what they discovered is that girl in guitar pic, who I have to say, if I look at her really closely, is somewhat less hot than the other one. she got so many more follow-up messages. So the key to that was that the value of being conversation worthy as opposed to merely sexy cannot be overrated.
Okay, so be sexy but be interesting.
They found that...
Which obviously all of our listeners are, so that's fine.
Oh, absolutely. And you too, Farine.
Of course.
Yes, of course. And the other thing that they found was that actually conversation worthy is the most important thing. So it doesn't even matter if you don't have a picture of your head, even though that would annoy me and I would probably never message you, unless you happen to have particularly fabulous boobs. And
thanks, Kat.
But there is a... a connection between having an interesting photo. So, for example, even if it's the one that they used was someone who was just a photo of them from the knees down, but someone had done this intricate Japanese bondage rope work around their legs in this kind of electric blue thread. Mm-hmm. And this person got like tons of hits. Just because they had a really interesting, like it gives you so many places to go.
So interesting profile, interesting picture.
Something to say.
Don't be generic.
That's right. Okay. That's pretty much what I found out.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.